Sin grips the heart within, a curse on fallen man. This pride and selfishness we hold inside. Though we were all condemned, we have a loving friend who came to save us. He lived a perfect life and gave the blind their sight, fulfilled the things foretold by prophecy. He humbly took the cross and died to save the lost, their sins forgiven. The greatest story ever told is of this Jesus, how he came to earth to rescue sinful men, sent from the Father up above to sacrifice in love and take our place and give.
Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6 this morning. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 in Isaiah chapter 6 this morning, Isaiah 6 verses 1 through 5. As you're finding your place, or if you've already found it, would you please, if you're able this morning, to stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you for this remarkable passage in the Word of God. Use it today to help us. Speak to our hearts. Use our pastor to preach to us and help us today. And to accomplish that, he needs your Holy Spirit power upon his life and his preaching this morning. Use him today. And Father, if there's somebody in this room or listening on the internet this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they would trust him today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, make sure your cell phone is turned off. Put it away, please. If you're using it for your Bible, we understand that part, even though we encourage you to have a Bible. Get a Bible. If you don't have one, you see us. We'll get you one. But let's make sure we're not messing around with phones during church. That's very aggravating, and you don't want me to get aggravated. So let's behave ourselves this morning. You can use a little time away from your cell phone. It will help you. Turn it off. Make sure it's off so it doesn't ring. And we hear La Cucaracha right about the middle of the way through the message this morning. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. Isaiah the prophet says, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah was a prophet to four kings in Israel. Uzziah is the first one that he prophesied to, preached to. But Uzziah was more than just the king to Isaiah. He was a close friend. They were confidants, and Uzziah was a man who listened to the prophet Isaiah. And so when the king dies here, when he makes that statement in chapter 6 and verse number 1, he's not just saying, oh, the king died. He's simply saying, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also, he says, the Lord sitting upon a throne. These have been unusual days, haven't they? It seems like, I don't know, can we really be surprised at anything that happens in our society, in our world anymore? I think the surprise factor is pretty well gone. It's been an unusual time, of course, with health issues and then world issues and all the stuff that goes on in and around our lives. And while all the rest is just going on, people still fight cancer. People still go to cemeteries. People still go to hospitals. Kind of like this prophet who lost a good personal friend and the leader of his country. And he said, when he died, I saw that the Lord was sitting upon a throne. I'm going to bring you a really simple thought this morning. And that's this. God is still on the throne. Oh, yes. I said God is still on the throne. I know for some people today, they're even questioning the existence of God. It doesn't make him go away. Well, I'm not so sure there is a God. Well, you little pipsqueak. I know I should show more respect, but frankly, I'm not impressed with somebody who actually questions the existence of God. Not impressed. I hope you're not either. And God is still on the throne. He was on the throne then. He's on the throne now. Revelation chapter 4, the Bible tells us when the trumpet of God sounds and we are caught up together, what do we see? We see God sitting on a throne. God's still on the throne. It helps us in many different ways in our lives, but maybe this message will be more of a reminder for some folks. Maybe it'll be a help to you. Maybe it'll be a challenge to you. But what does that mean to us today? Isaiah lived hundreds of years ago. He loses a dear friend and the leader of his country. And he said, when that happened, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. It helped him in his life. It helped him in his grief. It helped him in his loss. It helped him with his questions. It helped him with the things, the uncertainty of a king dying and a new set of leadership coming in. All of that, it helped him to see that God was still on the throne. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's 2020, and get good news. God is still on the throne. And it helps us to realize that. Sometimes I'm afraid we get so focused on ourselves, our lives, our issues, what we're facing, what's happening to us, what's going on in the world, that somehow or another, I think it would help us just to sort of lift our eyes for a moment this morning and remind ourselves that God is still on the throne. But what does that mean? God is on the throne. Well, first of all, it means he's all sovereign. All sovereign. Almighty. He's the only God. Everything else is a little G God. He's the big G God. He's the only one. He's all sovereign. He is sitting on the throne of heaven as the all sovereign God of heaven, ladies and gentlemen. That means simply this: God is in control. We will see his will and his plan for the ages come to pass, just as he has told us in his word. You see, God gives man free will agency. Look here. God will allow you to make your choices. God gives you that free will agency. That's one of the things that separates us from the animals, the fact that we're not higher evolved animals. We're created in the image of God, and in so doing, he put a will in a man and a woman, and he put free will inside of us. So now look at me. When we say, boy, God is in control, it doesn't look like it, does it? It looks like people are out of control. It looks like the world situation's out of control. It looks like people live a life that's out of control. And we think, well, then how could God be in control of that? Well, see, what God does is this, ladies and gentlemen. He gives you and he gives me the ability to make choices. Free will agency. But here's a fact that you must keep with that this morning. He will decide how it's going to turn out because he's sovereign. Well, I get to do what I want. That's all that matters. No. You don't want to get to do what you want. You want to know how it's going to turn out. And there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That first part, that's free will agency. The second part, that's the sovereignty of God. He's going to decide how this thing's going to go. So we got this situation over in the Ukraine, and here's a communist government. A communist government going after a free people and want to suppress them and oppress them. And you say, well, then how could God be in control of that? Listen to me very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. God is in control of how this thing's going to turn out. You see, we see people do things that are not right, and we blame God for their actions when we should blame them for their actions. Come on, when was the last time somebody gave God credit for a beautiful sunrise? When does God get, if there's a hurricane, it's an act of God. There's an earthquake, it's an act of God. There's a disaster, it's an act of God. Nobody ever looked at a Chick-fil-A sandwich and said, thank God, that's an act of God. That's about as close as you're going to get unless you go to Five Guys and get a hamburger. Nobody wastes their time at In-N-Out. The truth of the matter is, but it's amazing to me how people, they blame God for all the bad and give him none of the credit for any of the good. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. He is sovereign. God is sitting on the throne. And man's down here that's shaking his little puny fist in the face of God. Atheists deny his existence. Skeptics question whether he's really there or not. Critics criticize his actions but give him no credit for any of his deeds that are right and that are good. And after all of that, God isn't up in heaven going, well, I guess I should get off the throne. He's not going to get off the throne. God is on the throne, and God is all sovereign, and he will determine how all this thing is going to turn out. It's already determined. We know what the Bible tells us. When it's over and said and done, God wins. You get that? Because God is sovereign. God does rule in the affairs of men. God does work in people's lives. Does he force their will? No, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. He'll make you want to. He'll make you want to do it. Talk to Nebuchadnezzar, who's this proud king who built one of the world's, the Bible says, the world's greatest empire. He was told by the preacher, he said, you better break off your sins now, break off your pride. And Nebuchadnezzar said, okay, well, I'll think about that. A year passes, and the message from the preacher dulled in his ears. And he's standing there one day on the parapet of his palace, looking at the majesty of his kingdom, bragging on himself, dislocating his shoulder, patting himself on the back for how great he thought he was in his life. And you know what God did to him? He put him out in the backyard eating grass like an animal for 7 years. 7 winters, 7 summers, 7 springs, 7 fall. This man's out there, his claws got like an animal's claws. His hair grew like feathers on his back. And people would come to see the greatest king of the greatest empire in the world. And they would come from emissaries all over the world, and they say, we want to see King Nebuchadnezzar. And his people would have to say, well, he's in the backyard having lunch. You know, it's amazing how that works. 7 years in his life, he's out there scratching in the dirt, eating. How proud can you be? How arrogant can you be that it takes 7 years to break your will for him? Then one day the Bible said he looked up, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. He could have saved a lot of seasons. He could have saved a lot of time if he'd have just yielded his will to God. Now, friend, let me tell you something. That's him. That's God. People can get as arrogant, as cocky, and as mouthy as they want to, but he is still on the throne and he is sovereign. He'll let punks shoot their mouth off, and then he'll teach them not to shoot their mouth off. God is still on the throne. Yeah. And this day and age, it makes you wonder sometimes how things are and the way things go. I can tell you this, God's still on the throne. What does that mean to us today? Number next, it means this, he is all seeing. See, verse number one, it says he is high and lifted up. That means God has a vantage point we don't have. He sees things we don't see. He sees things the way it's supposed to be. He sees things as they have been. He sees things as they are, and he sees things as they will be. See, God views everything from the eternal realm. We live in the temporal. So what is it right now? It's 20 minutes to 12. I've got 19 minutes before it's over, and I'm done. They turn the mic off, the lights go out, everybody has to go home because it's a Baptist church and you got to be done at noon. The truth is, we live by the hour, we live by the moment, we live by the minute, we live by the day, we live by the seasons. God doesn't live that way. God's in the eternal realm, and he is high and lifted up. That's his sovereignty and his godliness and who he is. But also it means this: he sees what we don't see. God has the ability to look at things and see them as in a manner by which we could never hope to understand. So we get caught in the moment, right here, this moment, this instant. This is us. Remember, we were in Africa, Brother Cox, remember we were in Africa in that van ride for 19 hours, pounding through streams, down the roads, sitting on little wooden benches in a little van over in Africa, driving through the savannah over there. Remember that? Remember how that day seemed like it would never end? It just went on and on and on. And every time he would stop, the missionary would stop that van and ask one of those Maasai, those tall black folk with all the pretty garments on and the big gold chains and stuff, look like rappers. And they're standing out there, and he'd ask them, where's so-and-so? And they say, oh, not far, not far. And we drive another 5 hours and find another guy. Oh, not far, not far. 19 hours are not far. I mean, I tell you what, that wears on you after a little bit. Oh, my soul. That, you know, when we live in the moment. We live in the hour. We live in the day. Hey, look, we see the headlines. We look at what the world is. We look at situations. We see this. We see that. We see political situations. Let's get past that. Let's talk about our own family, our own lives, and the day-to-day stuff of our lives. And that's what we can see. We can't see tomorrow. We don't know. Please don't ask God to tell you what's coming. You don't want to know what's coming. And by the way, that's not bad. That's good. But it just means sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's enough for today, right? Anytime somebody says, I wish there's more hours in the day, I want to slap them. Man, 24 is enough. Please don't make a 30-hour day. They're telling us now they're going to get rid of daylight savings time. Where were these guys 2 weeks ago? They robbed us of an hour of our sleep. Where did that happen? They're going to get rid of it. Well, we've been telling them for years you ought to get rid of that stupid thing. There's no point in it whatsoever. Then they tell us there's going to be 14-hour days and 19-hour darkness and all that kind of stuff. I don't care. Just quit taking my sleep away from me. That's important. People are still grouchy. And it was 2 weeks ago that this happened, that we had to set the clocks forward. It was last week, wasn't it? See how messed up I am? I don't even know where I am. I don't know what's going on. It's terrible. The truth of the matter. But that's our life. That's the way we live. God is on the throne, ladies and gentlemen. He is all seeing. He sees everything. He sees how it goes. Well, I wish he'd do something about it. Well, my friend, soon enough he will. Soon enough. And by the way, it's not like he's up there doing nothing now anyhow. But it also means God sees you. I was talking to him this morning. I said, God, how is it with my issues, my burdens in my life that I shoulder, how do you shoulder 7.8 billion people on this planet? My soul. And yet the Bible says he sees every individual, notes a sparrow when it falls, numbers the hair on everyone's head. Thank you, bald people, for giving God a break. But he sees you. By the way, he doesn't just see you, he knows you. I was reading the Psalms again this morning. He calls all of the stars by their names. There's trillions of them. They have no idea how many stars there are. And God has a name for each and every one of them. I'm still looking at my kids going, now, what's your name again? I mean, it's unbelievable when you think about it. And that means this. Not only is it all seeing, it means he sees you. You know, that means you matter to God. How you live your life, what you do, what you don't do, it matters to him. Now, I know we think, it's like sometimes, well, who cares if God sees me? You should care. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. It ought to matter to us, you know. My older brother Jack, 2 years older than me, when we were living with my dad, and he would sing in the choir. Southern Baptist Church. Now, if you Southern Baptist folks, don't get upset with me. But it was boring. Oh, my soul. These two little boys sitting in church trying to pay attention. We were trying to be good. But, man, them sermons, they went on forever. You know what that's like, don't you? Okay, boy, you spared yourself on that one. And so we were trying to do something to pass the time. So we would practice. We'd have hold our breath contests. And the clock for the preacher was in front of him, behind us. So we'd hold our breath and turn around and see who could hold their breath the longest. My dad was singing in the choir. And after a few attempts, all of a sudden we get this burning sensation. And we look up and there was my dad. Staring at us going, and that meant, I'm going to kill you when we get home. Because that poor preacher was looking at that boy, trying to hold their breath during church. Just occupy some time. It changed everything when you knew Dad was looking. It just changed the whole prospect of things. Hey, he's on the throne, and he sees you. So you don't share a private moment. You don't have a private thought. Your God sees you. Now look, you can either look at that as one of those good, bad things. Good, God sees me. He knows the depth of my valleys. He knows the strength of my battles. He knows the sorrows of my heart. He knows my life. He sees that. That's a good thing. That's a bad thing. He sees it all. Now, friend, then can we not just avoid the concept that somehow or another, well, that God's way up there and I'm way down here. No. He sees everything. He sees me. He knows where I am. He knows what I'm doing. He knows what my life is about. God sees me. God sees you. That's both comforting and convicting, isn't it? God is still on the throne, ladies and gentlemen. That means he is all-sustaining. He can and does and will take care of his own. There's one person who has. The rest of us are stuck. I said he can, he does, and he will take care of his own. Now, the question is this, are you one of his own? Now, that's the issue. God sends the rain on the just and the unjust and that kind of stuff. But you know, when it comes to his children, God's a little more favoritism on that point. Oh, yeah. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see, the one thing is, you can be God's creation and he knows you. He still loves you. But once you become one of God's children by accepting Christ as your personal Savior, now you become one, you're one of his kids. Now God's going to take care of that. See, here's the deal. $6 a gallon for gasoline. What used to take 20, 30 bucks to fill a tank takes $60 now. Still driving? Inflation, 8%. Oh, my goodness. 40 years, watch Fox News. You want to shoot everybody. The truth of the matter is, and don't do that, by the way. And the truth of the matter is, here we go. But it's still interesting how we're still well-fed. God's putting roof over our head. He's still putting, am I by myself up here? Am I all alone? Is God still taking care of his own? Yeah, God did that during COVID. God does that during inflation. God does that during troubles. God did that during the recession. God does that during depression, whether it's government-caused or self-induced, whatever the case may be. God is still sufficient. He is still sustaining his children. But see, the thing about it is this, ladies and gentlemen, we panic because we forget that the Lord is my shepherd. Why should we panic? He's my heavenly father. He's watching out for me better than any dad I ever had in my life. It's amazing. He's my guide. He's my help. He's my strength. He's my comfort. He's my lifter. He puts his hand underneath my arms and gets me up when I can't take it anymore. He's the one who is the sustainer of life and the sustainer of my life and provision and provider and protector. It's amazing. He is still on the throne, ladies and gentlemen. So don't get all panicked and worked up. I quit watching the news during this COVID thing because it was so stupid. Some of the things they talked about. Well, to keep up with what's going on over in the Ukraine, I've been watching some news. I'm sorry, I'm a conservative, so I watch Fox News. But quite frankly, about an hour, one guy is all it takes, because the rest of them say the same thing over and over and over again. They just do the same stuff. Or they waste time on frivolous stuff that doesn't amount to a hill of beans anyway. So I don't see what the deal is all about. But it's always fascinating to me how everyone thinks, you know, when there was a moderate in the White House, all the liberals are after him. Now you got a liberal in the White House, all the conservatives are after him. And everybody's after everybody, and they're all getting after everybody else, and they all got their conspiracy theories and all the stuff that's going on. It's insane. When you stop to think, Joe Biden is not going to put groceries on my table. He's trying to take them off, but He's not going to put groceries on my table. He's not putting gas in my tank. He's not, look at me, he's not going to take care of me. You know why? Because God is on the throne, ladies and gentlemen. My God, my Heavenly Father who watches out for me, he is on the throne. He's going to take care of me. Now, the point of this is here very simple. Then make sure that you are his child, number one, and make sure you live in a way that that pleases him. What father's anxious to provide for the needs of a rebellious kid? Why? By the way, and don't feed a rebel. Don't house a rebel. Don't take care of them. Don't fund them. Sorry, but that doesn't sound nice, but the worst thing you could ever do is keep helping somebody do the wrong thing. You do not want to do that. But the point is this, though, ladies and gentlemen. See, I found something out. If I make sure he's first in my life, he'll make sure I'm first at his table. He'll make sure I'm first at his provision. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. God is in the business of taking care of his children, ladies and gentlemen. You know why? Because he's a sustainer. He's there in heaven. Oh, he's got the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's got the provision of life. Oh, my friend, he's got the fields that feed. He's got the sky to breathe. He's got water to nourish. God is amazing. God is still on the throne. He is a sustainer. Now, before the rest of you fall asleep, let me give you one point right here. I got stirred up this morning. Not right now, I mean earlier. I'm okay now, I got it under control. Because God is on the throne. You know what that means? It means he is all settling. Get this concept now, friend. When it is over and said and done, God wins. God not only wins in the affairs of man, God's going to win in your life. You get that? He's going to win in your life. He'll let that free agency thing go along for a while, and then when he decides, whoop, that's the end of it. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. God is all settling. He's going to settle all matters. He settles all things. He settles all issues. He settles all questions in my mind. He settles all the things of life. And when it's over and said and done, despots come down, God comes up. When it's all over and said and done, dictators fall, God stands. When it's all over and said and done, truth stands, lies fall. It all goes down. God is all settling, God, because he's on the throne, ladies and gentlemen. And it's not just because he's a despot who has to have it his way. It's because he's God and he knows his way is better than yours and better than mine. Because it is. You're talking to an old hippie from the 60s. Trust me, God knows better than I do. You're talking to somebody who sits there at 10 o'clock at night and knows there is a piece of my wife's fudge cake in that kitchen and knows, listen to me, the rapture could hit. And all those people left behind are going to eat my cake. They're going to need it. But why? It's just a little piece. It won't help them. It'll just basically satisfy the sweet tooth. So by 10:05, I've pretty well talked myself into eating that piece of fudge cake. I have. Realizing I don't want to get somebody's hopes up. The rapture hits. Do you ever wonder what happens? Do all of our clothes just fall on the ground and we go up? I don't mean improperly clothed, but I mean our earthly clothes. They just walk in, there's piles of clothes everywhere. It happens right now. Boom, right? Everybody goes up. Brother Evans is left. He's here to look it over. But no, I don't think so either, Brother Evans. We're praying for you, though. The truth is, what happens? Hey, here's the deal. Oh, whoa. And they're going to walk in there and they're going to eat my fudge cake. I don't want them having my fudge cake. They should have got saved. 10:06, I'm in fudge cake. Because I could talk myself into anything. Because there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. It is. But ladies and gentlemen, please, you and I better get a grip on the fact that he is on the throne of heaven. He is the God of heaven. He is the sovereign one. And he is going to settle all these matters. Everything's going to get worked out. It may not happen in our lifetime. It may not happen the way we want. It may not go exactly like we think. But see, he's God, you're not. And that's a comforting thought, very assuring thought when you get right down to it. But when it's all over and said and done, God settles things. God just settles things his way. It's an illustration I've used before, but a lady came to visit us several years back, and I asked her, could I come by and visit you for coming? She said, well, preacher, she said, I'd like you to come, but my husband hates preachers. And I said, well, I don't really care for most of them either, but you know. She goes, no, I think he'll be rude to you, and I don't want you to get your feelings hurt. And I said, I'm a Baptist, I don't have any feelings. It's not a problem. So I went by on a Saturday. He's out there working on his pickup truck. Now, the kind of shade tree pickup truck, right? Nowadays, you have to have a computer and a background in economics and, you know, electronics to work on. There was a day you actually lifted the hood. You could, you know, fine-tune a carburetor, do a little work. You know, okay, never mind. For you young people, that's not an app. And it's not a video game. I mean, you actually worked. And he's working on this pickup truck, and he's racing while he's fine-tuning this carburetor. He's racing the engine. I don't know anything about cars. I'm standing there looking at it. He looks at me and goes, you're the preacher, ain't you? And I said, yes, sir, I am. He goes, you can tell my wife you came by. I told my wife you talked to me. You can tell my wife I'm coming to your church, but I'm not ever going to your church. You understand that? I said, not a problem, sir. I just wanted to say thank you for your wife coming. Appreciate it. And wanted you to know you're always welcome. He goes, well, don't worry about it, because you're not going to welcome me. I'm never coming to your church, pal. Okay. Thanks. Walked off. Saturday afternoon. Sunday morning, he's sitting in church with a bandage from this wrist all the way up to his bicep, and it was all gooey. And I went over to him. I said, nice to have you this morning. He looks at me. He goes, you know what happened? He said, you walked off and that carburetor backfired and burnt my arm. I have second, third degree burns on my arm. I spent half the night in the ER sitting there thinking, I better get to that guy's church, for goodness sakes. I said, God settles all matters. I said, God settles all matters. Yeah, these little so-called intelligent people who sit around and discuss whether or not God exists. Hey, when it's over and done, God will settle all matters. You got that? So since he'll do that for everybody, he'll do that for each one of us. So let's go ahead and settle some business with God. What do you say? Let's go ahead and understand, ladies and gentlemen, that in the midst of it all, $6 gas, 8% inflation, war in the world, problems in our lives, COVID still around, all the stuff that's going on, God is still on the throne. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.